children. What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. We are in our 21st year. Over 48,000 families have reached out for referrals, support groups, attended programs. We are here to help you with all mental health referrals, including drugs, alcohol, gambling, eating disorders, all addictions. If you need a referral or you want to attend a support group, please call our confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. And you can go online to maskparents.org. Parents, because it's Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids. So again, www.maskparents.org, and you can listen to radio shows and see what Mask is all about. You can also donate online so that you can partner in helping a family that may not be able to afford the right treatments for the benefit of their mental health state. So if you donate online, $1, $5, $50, $500, $5,000, you can be an equal partner at Mask so that we can help families who need the treatment that can't afford it. So for those that already have donated online and continuously every month donate online, Yashar Koach and Tisku L'Mitzvot. Tonight, I am very pleased to have with us a very wonderful colleague, a friend, a family, longtime friend, his family, and that is Dr. Chaim Newhoff. Chaim, thank you for making the time tonight. I know how busy you are. So I really, really want to say a Yashar Koach for making this time and sharing your knowledge with my listeners. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachama. It's truly a pleasure to be here. I've been following the progress of MASK from its inception over 20 years ago, before I even started graduate school. And just, you know, it's amazing how you persevered over the years and still with the same with program and how you've grown. And you should continue to go. Mechayel Hachayel.
Amen. Thank you. And of course, Chaim, when you say you've been watching MASK, that means my staff that has been with me for years, they are my partners in helping the class. So I'd like to recognize them as well. I do not do this on my own. We have many people working at MASK that have really, they're there at the phone to answer the helpline, to get the referrals that the people need, to make sure whether it's an inpatient, outpatient, insurance, whatever it is, and to connect my listeners to the resources that are out there and other organizations that we can connect you to. So call our confidential number. You can call anonymously. Our number is 718-758-0400. Again, maybe you want to write it down for yourself, your loved one, a friend, a neighbor, maybe someone you sit next to in shul. Our number is 718 758 0400. So tonight we are going to be talking about anger management. And is anger always bad? Or why do children get angry? We're talking about younger children, being that Dr. Newhoff is a, he does focus his clients generally, Chaim, are young adults, children. Isn't that correct?
Primarily, I'm seeing children, adolescents, and young adults in my practice. That's correct, yes.
Right. And just for everyone to know, he's the director of Nachas Consulting. He's an adjunct clinical supervisor at Furkoff Graduate School. And his private practice, which is even difficult sometimes to get an appointment because he's so sought after psychologist, I would like you to give out your contact information. We'll give it out now. We'll give it out at the end so that people can jot it down. Chaim, how do you want to be contacted?
Well, email is probably the easiest to contact me. My email address is cnewhoff, Ph.D., which is C, N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, U as in under, H as in Harry, O as in Oscar, FF as in Frank, Frank, which is my name, Ph.D., what's in word, at gmail.com. So that probably is the easiest way to reach me through the email, cnewhoffphd@gmail.com.
Thank you. And just so my listeners know, that Chaim, Dr. Newhoff, really returns, you know, he emails back for real and very, very swiftly, let me tell you. Whenever people email him, they get a response. So anyone that's interested, what?
It might be just for you.
Oh, it might be for me.
Right but
no,
try.
But yeah. I know. People say you're very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, you know, something that parents, you know, when they struggle with loved ones, it's good when they have somebody that they can bounce things off. Of course, Chaim has a private practice. There's a fee when making an appointment to see Dr. Newhoff. Is it okay if I address you as Chaim?
Yes,
sir. Okay, sorry. And this way, if anyone wants an appointment, you can email him to set up an appointment. Okay, so let's get right to it. We're talking about children, young adults, teenagers, and what role do parents play when they have a child that is always angry? So I'd like you to first talk about the types of anger, a definition of anger, and the types of anger when it comes to children and young adults, please.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anger is something that is we all experience. It's just a fact of life that we are, when things don't work out, when it's really a feeling of displeasure, one of the many emotions that we experiencing, what we experience, which results from mistreatment, opposition, usually will show itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. Now, anger is something that, you know, we call it a fever. It's a signal that something happening inside. We don't necessarily know what the cause of it is. That's why anger is a bit tricky and complicated. It tells us something is not right, but really we need to figure out what's happening, both within oneself and when we're talking to parents, to understand that something is happening with their children. Anger can come from emotional pain that can leak out, something is overwhelming. Anger can come from just a general culture where someone's involved. The culture can be in a family setting, a broader system, a broader culture, or a school setting, where just anger just used as a method to gain power and control. So a child who's exposed to this will frequently use anger just to get away in their own environment. And anger can come from just someone who's never trained. You know, if a child is used to getting their needs met through anger, so that's going to continue. That's why it's really important to understand where it's coming from, what we're talking about, and based on our understanding, based on the way we diagnose, we formulate, that's going to determine our intervention, how we're going to deal with it. So that's a 1 minute summary.
Right, Chaim. You're saying family problems, and there are those kids that also get frustrated, like you said, with academic problems. They have a learning disability. And we see a lot of that where children that have learning disabilities get very frustrated early on and they get angry. So I would like you to help us. The parents are listening to the show. These parents that are struggling with little kids, young adults that get angry, for whatever those reasons you may have mentioned, temperament or academic, social, whatever it may be, I want you to talk about the role the parents play as a result of this.
Right. So the first role the parents play is to realize, there are lots of different types of problems that are around. And what I call the point of entry is usually the anger, because we may not be aware of what's underlying it, but we're going to start seeing these symptoms of anger. That's something we need to be attuned to. As you mentioned, this can come from, a child with a very intense temperament, and often you see that in run families. It will run throughout development. It can come from as you said, something happening in the child's life that's just too overwhelming, and it's going to leak out in anger, such as an academic problem, a learning disability, a social problem, a child that's being teased or even bullied from other children. It can be a sign of some, oncoming depression. It can be a sign of just overwhelming stress in one's life. Sadly, we see lots of that around problems in families, parnasa with shalom bias or health problems. If they may be having other children in the family who are struggling with their Yiddish child, and that can come out often as angry. So the first step for parents to play really is to talk to the child. Some children will talk, some won't, and then we really need to become detectives and figure out where this is coming from. That's really probably the most important thing that parents can do. And then the second step is, once we do realize where it's coming from, then take the appropriate steps. Sometimes that may mean to consult with a professional in a certain area, whether it's going to be to remediate a learning issue. Sometimes it may be to teach the child anger management skills. Sometimes it may mean to work with the family, for a parent to be honest with themselves, and it may be related to broader family dynamics to get help in that area. But again, once we understand where, if we notice it and we understand it and we realize where it's coming from, that brings us to step two, which really will allow us to deal with the issue.
Chaim, a lot of times, there's buildup. Not always do kids show what they're feeling, and sometimes it builds up, and then it could be a long time before an explosion. So we as parents need to be in tune to see what's really going on, because at MASC, we start our intakes at fourth grade. A parent could call up and say their kid's 25 years old or 17. We always ask about the school experience, because a very, very large percentage of clients had an issue when they were younger, in first to fourth or fourth to eighth grade, something going on in their lives. and the parents had no idea, and it only came out later on. So if you can really help the parents with understanding the importance of the elementary age of these signs, not only with anger, but anger is our main focus today, but the buildup part and how we may not even recognize it because it's under the radar.
Right, right, right. You know, I love the word buildup that you're using because, you know, when we talk about, you know, anger management and really all, you know, it's a general, you know, formula for understanding and helping children and their parents. It's really, you know, I view it as a four-step process. Most people are going to come in and focus on, you know, specific episodes. You know, brother went ahead, goes all the time and plays, touches his toys, and he's going to go crazy and fight back. I'm going to tell him to go to sleep, and he's going to have this major temper tantrum. So that's really, we call that focusing on stage two and stage three. You know, there's a trigger, something that's happening, and followed by an outburst. Really, we view it in terms of four stages. In order to really effectively treat anger, we have to see it first before a trigger, before what we see in front of us is a buildup, is something that's happening over time. This could be over weeks, could be over months, it could be over years, but there's a slow buildup that will explain why you can have the same trigger for two kids. You know, you have one, you have kid David, and you tell him it's time to go to sleep, and he's going, he may not like it, but he'll follow the direction. The second child will tell him to go to sleep, and he's really going to go crazy and start throwing things. And the question is why. It's not necessarily the trigger, it's this buildup that you're alluding to that can help us explain. So that's really, we need to know the buildup. Because during the build-up phase of anger, our role is to do what we can to prevent it. Once the trigger happens, which I don't know if I have time to talk about today, but then our role is to diffuse. Once the explosion happens, our role is to contain. And the last phase, the aftermath, then our role is to resolve. So just getting back to your, you know, some possibilities, you know, build-up is things that can just happen over the years. It can happen when you have siblings. When one sibling is born and the other one is 2 years old and getting that two-year-old child was dethroned and mom's giving all the attention out to the younger one, that may lay the seeds for just years of resentment, competition, jealousy that can help us explain why when this nine-year-old kid is watching his 7-year-old brother get something and he didn't get it, just that extra reaction. That would be an example of a build-up factor that can explain why this anger is happening. And therefore, that would tell us that we really need to focus on this older child and give them extra attention and love to be able to compensate for that. Other examples of build-up could be just poor problem-solving skills. The kid was never taught skills of how to assert themselves appropriately. All they know when things don't go their way is just aggression. So that's a build-up factor that if we're aware of that, then we need to teach them the skills. A child with low self-esteem, now again, it's not standing in front of us, but if we're understanding that as a build-up factor, we're noticing that, and that's something that we can target in our intervention. So these are just three of many factors that can be involved in this particular child, adolescent, young adult, what may be behind the this tremendous anger that we're seeing.
So trigger is the first thing, and you brought up about an example with a child seeing something, you know, or whatever the trigger may be for that individual. I want to add that there are families that have a sibling effect with a teen at risk because the child says, look at mommy and daddy. They're always nervous. They're doing everything for the kid that's either struggling off the derech on drugs, acting out or whatever, and all that bad behavior, they're getting spoiled and they go, you know, Tati's taking them out and mommy's busy doing things with her. And so they're, in their mind, there are those kids that say, bad behavior, you get rewarded. So in those cases, we always recommend that families speak to the younger children, and the family gets together and talks about what's going on, how we can help the child that's suffering or is in a bad place, and make the family members a part of it, you know, doing activities, doing different things for that child that's suffering, so that there's a smaller chance, percentage, of having a sibling at risk. Because if you're open and communicate about what's going on at home, that could be something that the trigger may not happen then. Chaim, can I ask you to address the issue of defusing when there is an outburst, please?
Sure, right. Diffusing is a important piece of working with the anger. I just want to first comment on what you said regarding what mask does, and I think that's really a wonderful example of utilizing an anger management model, because, you know, your example of a child who's struggling with at-risk or federal type issues and the effect it has on the siblings, this would be, if let this go unnoticed, and that would be a buildup of resentment, frustration, anger in that child, which would eventually lead to the child acting out in an angry way. And, you know, really, that's a wonderful service to help families realize what these siblings are going through. These siblings are often ignored because there's so much other stuff happening in the family. And by helping parents notice it and having them talk to someone, whether it's going to be an individual, a support group, that does so much to prevent this buildup. And down the road, you're going to see a lot less of this anger and so many of the other untoward effects. So that would be one of many examples, and really a wonderful way of mask helping families and, you know, working through this anger management model. Now, as far as diffusing, now, if I'm just going to continue talk on this model that we use, is, you know, the build-up, during the build-up phase, we do what we can to prevent during the trigger, when actually a trigger happens and we see the child getting ready, the child or oneself getting ready, then we're doing what we can to diffuse. And diffuse would be, so for example, that you see that a child's told to do something, or someone is teased, or one kid starts annoying someone else, and you see that something is going to happen. Now, so then the role of parents there is to do whatever they can to contain. You know, we use a muscle of like a bomb going off. So as long before the bomb goes off, we want to do whatever we can to defuse this bomb. We don't want it to go off. You know, once it goes off, we do crisis control. We do crisis management, damage control, then we contain it, which is, you know, the next phase. But now we do what we can to diffuse it. And some things that are very important for us to do are just, for example, to stay calm. You know, if we lose our temper, it is like throwing gas on a fire. So it's really important we control our own emotions. You know, a mistake that many people make is when someone else starts getting angry, they start rising, we rise with them. The best thing to do is when they start going up, we should go down. Talk softer, try to retain your own composure and calmness, even though inside your own emotions are heating up, but that does a lot to diffuse the situation. Listening. You can prevent arguments and explosions by hearing what the other person has to say. Maybe it's an easy solution for it. Sometimes people, just by them feeling heard, is enough to calm them, allow us to move further. Taking a break is a good idea. Distraction. I just had a family who you know, I saw this week they're going on a trip, and in the car it was really terrible. The kids are fighting with each other, and the parents, to their credit, noticed what was happening. And this is just a common everyday intervention. Just pulled the car over to the side, took a 10-minute break, and it just let everyone recalculate and reset. That would be an example of a defuse. Making people laugh can work as long as it's not being sarcastic, using good-natured humor, you know, make a funny tone of voice or a comment that can sometimes get a laugh from an angry person. And just a reminder, calm reminder about the rules. Sometimes we need to say, well, let's remember, keep our hands and feet to ourselves. We can do it without making any threats or, you know, escalating things, but just to help people get under control. So those are examples of how to diffuse things. This is difficult to do in this short 15-minute interval.
Right.
But I'm just trying to give a taste of what's involved in this.
Right, Chaim. Yeah, the show goes really quick. And I want to say thank you. I appreciate you coming on and making the time and taking, you know, somebody's appointment tonight to be on. So thank you, really, on behalf of all our listeners. And it is only the beginning of the conversation. I hope to be able to continue this conversation in the near future again and take it to the next level of maybe more information for adults. We'll have you on again, Mitch Shem. I want to thank you. I would like you to just give out your email address again, please.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for the opportunity to do that. My email address is cneuhoffphd@gmail.com. C is the first letter of the name of Chaim Neuhoff. It's spelled Neuhoff PhD. So that's one word, cneuhoffphd@gmail.com.
Thank you, and thank you for all your trainings that you put out there to make sure that therapists get up-to-date trainings. They're just so professional always and so wonderful. So I want to say also, Yashar Koach, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can go online to maskparents.org. And again, our masks helpline number, confidential and anonymous, write it down, maybe for yourself, your friend, your loved one, maybe someone you sit next to in shul, a neighbor, 718-758-0400. Thank you, Chaim, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
Sweeten the new year with Rango Honey, the highest quality raw, natural, award-winning honey from the San Aran Desert. It's the best honey you will ever taste. Start Rosh Hashanah right with Rango Honey's 100% pure raw honey, straight from the San Aran Desert, in three different flavors, Clover Alpha, Desert Bloom, and Mesquite. Each flavor is unique and pure, as Rango doesn't blend varieties together like some other companies do. And as passionate as Rango Honey is about offering the most extraordinary honey available, it's even more passionate about giving back. That's why Rango Honey has committed that all profits will go to fund safe and nurturing assisted living housing for adults with autism. Rango Honey is also great in fighting allergies, too. And that's nothing to sneeze at. Rango's Rosh Hashanah Kosher Certified Variety Pack of three delicious flavors is a great gift to give for the new year and is only $15.99, including free shipping. It's available online at rangohoney.com. That's rangohoney.com. A sweet new year to you and your family from rangohoney.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.